Okay, welcome back to the wild. Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Wild and Vile Case File Files. I think we're just going to jump into it early this week. We're both a little bit overtired, so we're going to do our best here. So this week I'm talking about Malaysian Flight 370, which, do you remember anything about it, like specifics or anything?
I remember watching the news coverage and I kept thinking to myself, like, how does an entire flight just disappear? Like, I thought, like, flights just don't, that's the whole point of, like, planes, that, like, they don't just, like, vanish out of thin air. So I remember just being like, what happened? And it kind of, like, freaked me out.
It was very lost-like. Like, that's why I was always so interested by it, because it's, like, with all the technology that we have, like, I can't even lose my cell phone properly. Like, how do you lose a flight?
I know.
Okay, so I will get into it then. So Malaysian Flight 370 disappeared on the morning of March 8th, 2014. The flight was supposed to go from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing, which is basically just Malaysia to China, mm-hmm. for those of us who don't know geography. So it was a training flight for the first officer, Farik Hamid. He was 27 years old, and this would have been his last flight before he would have been fully trained. And the other pilot, which is known as the pilot in command, was a man named Zahari Ahmad Sah. And he was a 53-year-old flying veteran. He was married and had three children who are all adults now. A fact that I'll come back to later on in this is Zahari was known to have a flight simulator in his basement, which he used often and, like, recreationally. So he would post these, like, flight simulations on internet forums, I'm guessing, like, Reddit or something like that. But I just think that's weird because, like, if your job is to fly planes, like, I would fucking kill myself if I had to go in the basement, or if my hobby was to also fly planes.
Yeah, like, if I was a pro golfer, I wouldn't be downstairs simulating a golf game and just, like, throwing shit into a tarp, or, like, you know, when they just, like, drive things into a tarp over and over again.
Well,
that's weird.
Yeah, I guess I just don't love my job like other people, because I could not see myself simulating marketing in my basement.
No, neither can I.
Okay, so moving on from that, the flight consisted of 227 passengers and 10 flight attendants. The passengers included mostly Chinese people or citizens and Malaysian citizens, and then there were some passengers from other countries, so things like America or Canada, but I mean, the majority was just Malaysian and Chinese citizens. Zahari was in charge of the radios, which was normal for this kind of flight, and so he was more of a co-pilot while Farik learned or did his, like, you know, last training session.
Mm-hmm.
Zahari's radio signals were a bit strange to start. He would send radio transmissions which stated that they were cruising at 35,000 feet. But that's unusual to report. Like, usually you would report if you were leaving an altitude, not if you're just cruising at one. Mm-hmm. He again reported that cruising altitude 9 minutes later, and, like, there was no change. So it was just strange for him to be like, still cruising.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 minutes later, they were transferring from Malaysian airspace to Vietnamese airspace. And the Malaysian air traffic controller gave the signal that recognized they were leaving. And he said goodnight. And Zahari says goodnight back, but fails to read off the frequency of the radio, which I guess is a normal thing that they do. So just another, like, little strange thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the last the world hears from Zahari or anybody on the plane. So minutes later, the flight disappears from the radar on Malaysian air traffic. It shows up in Vietnamese radar, but then within 5 minutes, it just disappears from both. Or, like, it's gone from Vietnam's also.
Weird. And did at some point the two of them talked to each other and, like, confirmed all of this, the two air traffic control situations?
Well, that's what's supposed to happen, right? So the Malaysian people, it wasn't that weird for them to, like, not really say anything because it's, like, out of their airspace or whatever. But while they were, like, transferring over to Vietnam and then it disappeared from Vietnam, they were supposed to report that, like, right away. Okay, so things get tricky because Vietnam doesn't report the plane missing for 18 minutes, but they're supposed to report it, like, right when they notice. And when they do, it takes Malaysian airspace operators 4 hours to send an emergency response, and they're supposed to do that within an hour. So it's like everybody's just not doing their job very well.
Like, they took them 4 hours to make a phone call?
For them to, like, report it to their higher-ups, yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, so this plane is just missing for 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours at this point, and nobody's done the proper
stuff. And how long was the flight?
I actually don't know. I think it was around that amount of time, because at the time that it was supposed to be landing in Beijing is when the search started. Yeah, so it's like 4 hours that this plane is missing. Nobody did their jobs, which I've heard about this. Like, I listened to a thing about the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same thing where it's like, the captain of the ship, like, should have been doing something but didn't because people were just used to doing it the wrong way. And then, like, somebody should have reported this and somebody should have reported that. But everybody just does the bare minimum at their job. So it was, like, a series of bare minimums caused, like, this massive oil spill. And so it's kind of, like, the same thing in this situation where, like, if somebody would have done their job earlier, we probably would have had more answers. But... okay. So, in the few days of the search, we think that we're only looking along the path that the plane would have taken to Beijing. So, they have, like, ships in the sea that they were flying over looking, and they have other airplanes looking and whatnot. But it turns out, after a few days, they salvaged some records and get...
Sorry, my doctor's hair. Head? Yeah. What a dummy. Oh, I like that she just, like, whipped her. I was like, it didn't happen. And yeah. Saw it.
Oh, Moe's definitely hit his head on our coffee table and just, like, acts like nothing happened or doesn't even, like, treat it like an injury because he's probably embarrassed. Okay, so, yeah, we're looking through the some salvage records, and then the Malaysian government is, like, not cooperating at all for some reason, and they end up being like, oh, we actually were able to track it by radar for... a little while after it went off, like, the commercial radar. So it turns out that the plane, immediately after falling Vietnamese and commercial Malaysian radar, just turned around. So the flight path of this plane, while it's being tracked by the Malaysian government, is confusing. So I'm going to try to explain it in, like, an American sense, because I don't know anything about Malaysian geography. So it would be like if you were taking a plane from Texas to New York... and then completely dropped off the radar, or normal radar, and then immediately turned around and started flying towards, like, Kansas City. And then when you got to Kansas City, it completely turned again and went towards Seattle. So they are, like, doing something that makes no sense. They, like, go kind of towards where they were originating from, but then completely bounce the opposite direction. Like, going from New York to Seattle, it doesn't make any sense. That's basically what they did.
Weird. And you, like, need approval to, like, go any other direction than you want to, don't you, from air traffic control? Like, if you want to move, like, a foot, basically, or, like, no, you have to like, clear that.
But the thing is, they're not on any radars at this point. So, like, air traffic control doesn't know that they're doing this. But the Malaysian government does through their own, like, radar or whatever they're using. But they even admit that it went towards, like, an airbase, and they just, like, didn't think anything of it because they knew that it wasn't a threat. So they didn't go up there to, like, scope it out as to why it was not doing a normal flight. So I don't know. They're really sketchy in this whole thing. The flight pattern took longer than an hour to complete in that, like, strange area that it was going. So we kind of... don't think it's a hijacking or suicide mission at this point, because that's not a normal one. Like, why would you turn around like that for an hour? Like, if you were, why not just crash the plane or get to where you're going, I guess, if you're a hijacker. So now things get even weirder, because we get even more information that the flight had continued to send signals to a commercial satellite on the Indian Ocean, over the Indian Ocean. And so these signals aren't like your standard radio or radar signals. It's basically like a ping to a satellite in space that says, like, hey, the plane is still moving, and it tells you how far the plane is moving, but not what direction. So it just judges its distance from the satellite. So it's like, it was 6 miles from the satellite, now it's 12 or whatever. So they're able to know that it was traveling a certain speed in any given direction, but they don't know what direction.
Okay.
Basically, through a bunch of, like, math stuff that I don't understand, they're able to figure out or guess that it flew 6 hours in the direction of Antarctica.
I don't think I know how the map works based on all these, like,
wait. Okay, so it was going north, like, wait, sorry. It was going northwest, but then at some point it had turned again and started flying towards Antarctica, and it is believed... that last 6 hours, it was flying in one direction after that. Not with One Direction, the boy band, but...
Did they just, like, take their, like, the GPS off and toss it out of the air and it hit a bird who just went, like, went on a trip? So, or, like, how is this happening?
It's kind of confusing, but from when it started to leave, it kind of makes the shape of, like, an N. So it goes down and then back up and then back down again. A reverse N. Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I don't know.
A capital N?
You're going to have to Google the map flight that it, or the flight that it took.
Is that like a conspiracy that they were trying to spell something?
Save us. No.
Oh, it sounded like you told me, like, okay. I thought that
was. No, I just made that up. Somewhere. And then it, okay. I think it made it more confusing. But yeah, if you're confused.
It sure did.
Yeah, if you're confused, just Google the flight pattern of it and you'll see why it doesn't make sense. Okay, so after this, they truly do not hear from it again. Oh, yeah, by the way. It's assumed that when it goes down eventually, it goes down, like, hard and fast because it, according to the math stuff from the satellite, its final moments, it had made a descent 5 times greater than that of a normal descent, so it was, like, crashing towards the ocean for sure. I think at this point people think that it's kind of, like, loss of fuel.
I was just going to say, it sounds like they ran out of fuel of some guy messing around in the cockpit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like, confusing as to what happened during that time. They think that it broke into, like, a million pieces on its way down and crashed into the ocean. But people are, like, super pissed at the Malaysian government because they're being so uncooperative. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we actually had it on a secret radar. And then they're like, a couple of days later, they're like, oh, yeah, we actually had it on a satellite, too. Like, ha, ha, ha. But, like, the whole time that they were doing that, people were looking in the wrong place for this plane that they knew that it wasn't. So it's like, why the fuck were they not telling people?
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the search for floating debris was stopped after 2 months, and they took the search to the depths of the sea. And at this point, we were expected to be looking at places that were so deep and remote, we've never before explored them. Like, it just was going to be a very...
Like the Titanic thing. Wreckage.
Yes. Yeah. Except we didn't know for sure where this was at all. So now some 16 months later, a team of beach cleaners on the coast of a French island called Réunion. I don't know how to say it in a French.
Réunion.
Yeah, Réunion. they found a piece of the plane, some airfoil, and they turned it over to experts, and they were able to find out through serial numbers that it was Flight 370, or part of it, a very small part. So some more science and math stuff was done, and they were like, okay, if it ended up here, then it probably came from, like, this region. Mm-hmm. And they were like, some more stuff is probably going to be found off the coast of Madagascar or some other areas close to there. And then almost 2 years after that, they actually do find pieces of the plane on Madagascar. Wow. However, the pieces of the plane don't give any evidence as to how it went down or anything like that. It just basically says that we were searching in the right patch of ocean for it to have floated where it did. So
I see.
Yeah, it's not really much of a clue. But one strange piece of evidence that I just thought was weird, and I don't think it has anything to do with the flight, but I think it has something to do with one of the passengers being weird. They were wearing a baseball cap, and on the underside of the baseball cap, I think on, like, the brim part, it says... To whom it may concern, my dear friend, meet me at the guest house later. And it was like a message etched into the baseball cap. So it's like, what does that even mean? And like, why?
Whoa, did the guy sitting next to him have Not Penny's Boat written on his hand?
Yeah. That's a lost reference if you don't get it. But yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, it seems like something so like sketchy like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It does seem like something that would be on, like, an episode 10 of Lost that, like, you don't really remember. They might kind of bring it back up again, yeah. but maybe yeah. not.
And the guest house is, like, this, like, secret naval base or some shit.
Yeah. It's the name of the actual name of the – or it's the name of the actual name of the hatch. Wow, that took a really long time to say. Couple of tries.
Okay, so after 3 years and $160 million, the official investigation comes to a close. Just some strange things or kind of – Yeah, just strange things that happened during the investigation or after it is that the Malaysian government was super secretive and they were not going to share their full report with the world until somebody on the inside had leaked it. And even then, it was, like, not a comprehensive report. There was things on it, which I'll get to a little bit later, that are sketchy that it's like, why would they? They're basically lying on the report.
Mm-hmm.
We know at this time that the Malaysian government is corrupt. They would make people disappear if they were troublemakers. They made that shitty report. They are suspected to not know the actual reason of the flight going down, but because they're so secretive as a government, they don't want anybody digging around in their shit and finding something by accident that has nothing to do with the flight, but, like, so they're covering this up because they don't know what other people might find out if they let them in. That's what the thought
Very sketchy.
Yeah. So another thing that's weird is there was an assassination while transferring some of the pieces from that were found on Madagascar, I think. So this guy was like the designated transferor of these debris pieces, and he was bringing them to where he was supposed to, and he was gunned down by an assassin, and the assassin was never found again. So that's super random and could be a coincidence, but also, like, what? Nothing. Okay.
I have something, but, like, what? Did the guy die, or the guy with the assassination attempt lived? Or, like,
no, he's dead. Okay. Yeah. He was successfully assassinated. Somebody got their
Do you paycheck. Think he put out a hit on someone on the plane and, like, he was in on it, and so they're tying up loose ends?
Yeah, that's or, what like, I the think. Malaysian government was getting caught, like, trying to cover it up or something like that. And they were like, well, we need to assassinate this guy so these pieces don't get transferred or something. Another weird thing is a man. I think this is just some crazy person, but I thought it was kind of funny. Some man claims to have found the plane on Google Earth, but refuses to share the location till he gets crowdsourced funding for a rescue mission. But, okay. Like, he's probably just trying to get money. And then the other thing that is weird is we know that, like, the accident has to have been caused by intent. It can't just be from a combination of, like, mechanical failures, weather, human error, like, this happening this way and the amount of turns that it took and everything. That just doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah.
So we know that somebody had to have intent in doing this. They also had to have purposely switched off the autopilot in order to make the turns that they did. And the electrical system was proven to be deliberately shut down. Like, we can tell by
the way. Is it possible someone had their cell phone on during the flight and not in airplane mode?
Could you imagine?
I've always heard that makes the navigation a little screwy. That's why we can't use phones.
Yeah, I was literally on a flight this morning, and I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't download, like, any podcast or anything, and I don't want to just sit here on the flight. So I was, like, frantically trying to download it, and and I still have my service on, and they're, like, pulling out, and I have, like, one bar. And I'm like, come on, it's, like, so close to finishing and downloading an episode. I did it.
Nice.
And then I turned it on to airplane mode, so nice. I am not on a lost airplane right now. So I have some theories. The first theory is a little bit of a short one, but it's called spoof theory. And it's basically this American writer claims that he believes the radar and satellite information was rigged and not real at all. So he thinks that the navigation tools on the plane were like fucked with beforehand to emit false information. So the plane was, in his head, going a completely different direction than the fake direction that we think it was going.
Okay.
So he thinks that the Russian government did this because they were trying to distract the world from them annexing a place called Crimea. I don't know what annexing means either. I meant to Google it, but I forgot. But anyway, so he thinks that it's the Russian government trying
to... They did a good job because I never heard about that.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't even know what annexing is. So good job. He also thinks that his explanation for the debris being found was that it was planted. So,
I believe that.
Yeah, that's not that hard to believe, actually. But our official fact checker, Kyle, is showing us annexing, I believe. Or
that's like, what about annexing in terms of Russia? Like, were they just getting rid of an entire...
I think they were trying
to cordoning off of an entire district.
Or take over.
Yeah.
And, like, adding them to the Russian property.
It's like, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, another theory that somebody suggests, this doesn't give, like, an answer to everything, but they think that this happened to the plane while it was in its crazy little jaunt. They think that the radar information shows that when the flight was turned around, the cabin was depressurized. So when they completely turned it around, they went up to 40,000 feet at a speed that was much too fast, and also that's way too high for a normal plane, or at least that plane.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would have caused the passengers to pass out and then die from the effects, and the pilots would have been able to have masks that helped with oxygen for hours longer than the passenger ones, which only work for like 15 minutes and also don't work at the altitude that they would have been at. They work for lower altitudes, not higher ones. So he thinks that the person who did it just killed everybody on the plane, like, right off the bat, like in a kind of nice way, because it would have been gentle. Like they wouldn't have even really known.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would just
pass out and died. Yeah.
Sad. Yeah, I'd prefer that than like feeling the fall of falling from an airplane sounds absolutely horrible.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. And especially if you don't know what's going on, you're like, wait, turbulence.
Yeah, like, I would really... much rather just be like, oh, we're in some slight turbulence. Like, please turn your seatbelts on and put your head between your legs. And yeah,
imagine being like the one person who wakes up still, though, and you're like, fuck, on a 6-hour flight to nowhere. Okay, so then the next, like, biggest theory is a hijacking. So there's good reason to suspect that a hijacking happened. For example, the autopilot was turned off, the electrical system was turned off. And what's even more strange is later the electrical system was actually turned back on. And so they were receiving calls, texts, and signals, but they were all ignored.
Weird. And
whoever was alive in the plane was probably attempting to repressurize the cabin for their own safety so they wouldn't have to use like the masks and stuff.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So there's some like things that are strange. The door to the cockpit would have been bolted shut and electronically locked. And in addition, there was only 2 minutes for the hijacker to have taken over the flight. So in between when the flight says goodnight and they fall off the radar, there's only like 2 minutes, so this whole thing would have had to happen at the exact perfect time and in a really short period of time. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's also possible that the pilot and the co-pilot knew the hijacker, so they let them in, but all the passengers and crew had been cleared of suspicion by the FBI, which I think is strange because there was 2 Iranian passengers who used fake Australian passports to get on the plane, and we just ruled them out as seeking asylum. So they were like on this flight to seek asylum or whatever eventually.
That is very interesting, but nothing ever came of it.
Yeah, but somehow they're cleared of suspicion. So I don't know how or why, but they were. Another thing that is weird about it being hijacked is, like, if it was hijacked, what was the fucking goal? Like, they didn't make any money. They didn't terrorize anyone, like, from a known group, you know? And there was no political gain made. So it's like, if it was a hijacking, it was a shitty one in the sense that, like, nobody knows why you did it.
Yeah.
So the most convincing,
or like they didn't get where they wanted to go if they were trying to get somewhere with the plane.
Right, like just the smallest thing happened, like autopilot turned back on, they're like, fuck,
oh no.
Okay, so the biggest theory is that the pilot was the perpetrator, and so it's not really uncommon,
the one with the simulation in his simulator.
Yeah, and so we'll get back to that too, but it's not uncommon for pilots to crash the plane purposefully. They like list in this thing I read, they listed a bunch of people who had done it with like, and it was pilots on like normal commercial flights where like people were passengers and everything, and they just like crashed it near Long Island or crashed it into the mountains in France just on purpose. And one of these people actually did it a year after Flight 370 disappeared, and he was known to have like obsessed over the flight pattern and stuff. So
why and how do they get away with it? Isn't that why there's 2 pilots?
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but it was known for the guy who did it in France that he waited until his co-pilot went to the bathroom, and then he locked him out and then crashed the plane.
Just to commit suicide in the
morning?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Because he was, like, depressed, yeah. Okay, so they don't think that it was the young pilot because he was still in training. He had a lot of, like, promise and stuff ahead of him, and he didn't have any signs of suspicious behavior. But they do believe that
the other guy was sketchy.
Yeah, Zahari. For starters, the Malaysian report said that there was no changes in his personal or professional life that would show any signs of worry. However, his wife straight up left him, and they were separated, and he was living alone in one of their houses because they had 2. But he was living alone in one of their houses, and he literally told his friends that he was sad and lonely and often just paced his house.
Those are some red flags. Yeah, those are alarming things.
Either the Malaysian government is stupid, and that's how they all live. They're like, oh, sad, lonely, and pacing? That's a normal day. I don't know why I just did like a Russian accent. Okay. He was also known to have started a relationship with a married woman and had developed an obsession for 2 influencers on the internet and was, like, obsessively commenting on their stuff. He also cheated on his wife with flight attendants all the time. Like, this guy doesn't sound normal to me.
No.
Yeah. Even more fucked up is that he had that flight simulator in his basement, and the FBI found a flight pattern on the simulator that was extremely close to the last flight pattern of Flight 370. Like,
oh.
And it's so similar that it, like, straight up runs out of gas over the Indian Ocean and everything. Like, this is what seems pre-planned, right?
Seems and the Malaysian very government, pre-planned.
Yeah, the Malaysian government says, oh, it's nothing. There's hundreds of flight simulations on this machine. Like, this is no big deal. But the guy had to straight up purposely fly this pattern. Like, the simulator would have told him, like, to land in a certain spot or do this certain thing. And he, like, purposely did things against it and, like, maneuvered the plane to do it that way.
Okay, I definitely think it was this guy. And he owed a bunch of money to people and then tried to kill and then killed himself in the plane.
Yeah. And so, in addition to this, he would have been the best person to empty the cockpit of catastrophe because, like we said, the co-pilot was in training, so it would have been really easy for him to be like, oh, I need you to go to the back of the plane and check the whatever wiring system, yeah, and then while he's gone, just fucking lock him out. But ultimately, we'll never know what happened because the black boxes and everything are probably somewhere that we'll never be able to get them, and the Malaysian government is trying its hardest to make it all go away.
I mean, I would, too, when it was so clear that this pilot guy did it. And I'm sure, like, because that got so much attention.
But, like, why wouldn't they just blame the pilot? You know, like, what about him would have, like, right? Like, wouldn't it be easier for them to be like, yeah, it was probably the pilot, case closed, and then have people go away rather than be like, oh, no, he was a normal guy.
I think,
guy.
Like, the only two options are, like, to blame the pilot or blame the plane, both of which really affects, like, people trusting planes and pilots to, like, buy more air ticket or airline. Buy more flights, and
that's
so I feel like they probably
want
to say anything.
Like your airlines to seem safe, and you don't want it to be like falling through the cracks that your pilots are actually going to suicide kill.
Yeah,
you. Yeah.
Our pilots are very depressed because they travel very, very long hours and sit in very small spaces with people they don't know,
this
and are basically bus drivers of the sky. But hey, we need you to trust them.
This flight brought to you by Zoloft. Okay, but another weird thing that I came across, I didn't have time to research it, and maybe I'll do something on it later, but like 3 or 4 months after this flight disappeared, a different Malaysian flight got shot down out of the sky by a Russian, is it Ukraine or something? Either way, there was like some civil war type deal going on, and this plane full of like 200 passengers got shot down because they thought that it was like an enemy plane, but it wasn't. It was just a routine flight, and the Russian government wouldn't admit to it, and neither would the people who were like rebelling. But I guess it got like taken to the UN, and they tried 4 people for it, but I don't remember the outcome. But I'm just like, ooh, what a 2014, a bad year for it to be a Malaysian passenger.
Yeah, wow, I'm surprised.
I had never even heard of that until I was doing this research.
Yeah, I had not heard of that story, but I heard a ton about this one.
Yeah. So, if you're ever in Malaysia, maybe take the bus.
Yeah. Ask a pilot how they're doing. Just do a quick welfare check before you fly.
Yeah. Okay, that's my story, and I stumbled through it.
I like how you landed it. Good job.
Ooh, good.
Thank you.